This is Wisconsin Public Radio on NPR One.
Since the 2016 presidential election, groups on the right and left have taken their messages offline and into the street. Violent confrontations between members of the conservative alt-right, masked anti-fascists, and others have broken out at protests in Berkeley, Portland, and elsewhere since President Donald Trump came into office. Alexandra Hall reports on one group that's finding ground in Wisconsin.
The Proud Boys have been called many names. What they call themselves is a fraternal organization, or men's club, for libertarians who want to meet up with other like-minded guys and drink beer. Most are young, white, and support President Trump.
And put these two beers and the fries on my tab. Those are my tab. And then
on a recent night at a brewery in a shopping mall just outside of Milwaukee, three men order a round of beers.
You boys need another beer? Anybody need
a drink?
Eric, Brad, and Patrick are all members of the Proud Boys from Southeast Wisconsin and Chicago. They ask that we not disclose their last names because they fear violent attacks on their members. Eric and Brad are both wearing the black and yellow Fred Perry polo shirts the Proud Boys are known for.
Proud Boys were coming up on just various online articles and sites and whatnot, so I decided to dig into it a little bit.
That's Eric. He's the president of the Wisconsin chapter of the Proud Boys. He says when he found out about the group earlier this year, he looked for a chapter to join in Wisconsin. At that point, one didn't even exist yet. So he started it.
I liked what I saw, basically. I liked that they weren't a white supremacist, white nationalist group, but they weren't trying to appease the left.
The Proud Boys have a lengthy list of causes. They include ending the war on drugs, giving everyone a gun, glorifying housewives and entrepreneurs, and declaring the West is the best. The first step to becoming a Proud Boy is saying you're a proud Western chauvinist who refuses to apologize for creating the modern world. Second degree, as you can hear in this YouTube video, involves getting punched by other guys while you try to name five breakfast cereals.
Cheerios, two, Frosted Flakes, three, Cocoa Puffs, four.
Third degree is getting a Proud Boy tattoo. And if you get into a fight with Antifa, the sometimes violent anti-fascist activists, you're an honorary fourth degree. When you get down to it, Eric, Brad, and Patrick say it's about free speech for everybody, even the white nationalists who organized the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville. Brad says even though they don't agree with those groups, they had a permit to be there and a right to express their views.
We have a platform. Black Lives Matter has a platform. And you know, I'm sorry for people that don't like it, but the Ku Klux Klan and the neo-Nazis have a platform. That's free speech.
But the guys say this isn't about race. They think the left and identity politics have gone too far in trying not to offend anyone.
And we're done apologizing. None of us knew anybody that owned a slave. Personally, my family didn't emigrate here until the First World War. I share no white guilt. So I'm done being villainized as the white devil. I'm not him.
The Proud Boys' ideas are kind of all over the place. One thing they all believe in, though, is what they call Western values.
The West is about you doing it your own way and not being hindered by rules.
That's Gavin McGinnis. He was one of the co-founders of Vice Media. Since then, he's hosted a series of right-wing online talk shows. Last year, at the height of the presidential election, he founded the Proud Boys as a space where guys could be guys. He says he got the idea for Western values from reading Pat Buchanan's 2002 book, The Death of the West, how dying populations and immigrant invasions imperil our country and civilization. McKinnis says it was Trump's anti-political correctness that drew him in. He says there was this one moment when he knew Trump was his kind of politician.
What really did it for me was he was doing a press conference and they said, he was saying anchor baby, and some Hispanic journalist said,
"Are you aware that the term anchor baby, that's an offensive term? People find that hurtful."
You mean it's not politically correct, and yet everybody is?
Look it up in the dictionary. It's offensive.
Give me a different term. Give me a different term. What else would you like to say?
The child, the American-born child of an undocumented immigrant.
You want me to say that? Okay. I'll use the word anchor baby.
I'm saying,
excuse me.
Why do you have to use that phrase?
I'll use the word anchor baby.
And he sort of gave him this sort of gesture with his arm, like, you know, shoot him away. And I thought, oh my God, we finally have a president who talks the way we all talk and is a human being, a non-politician politician.
McKinnis says that the media have overblown the actual scale and presence of white supremacists in the U.S., but he's open about his own feelings towards Muslims and women. His Twitter profile describes him as anti-Islam, and he talks on his show about how most women would be happier at home than in the workplace.
I would say feminism was done in maybe 1979. And since then, it's just been women inventing problems and lying to create a world where the feminists are needed, like saying one in four women will be sexually assaulted or raped in college, or saying that women earn less than men and there's a wage gap, like just blatant lies to justify their existence.
McInnes says those are his views. You don't have to share them to join the Proud Boys, but they resonate with the guys.
The wage gap, predicated on a myth, verifiably false, and in some job fields, women are making more than their male counterparts.
Some have called the Proud Boys the alt-light, including those within the nationalist alt-right movement.
For our purposes here, I think you could define the alt-light as those who align themselves with the politics of the alt-right in the era of Trump without really addressing or associating with any issues of race or, you know, race or racism.
Ryan Lenz is a senior investigative writer with the Southern Poverty Law Center. Every year, the organization publishes a report on the groups espousing extremist ideas in the U.S. He says groups like the Proud Boys use humor and irony as a tool of plausible deniability.
If someone were to become critical of the Proud Boys, all they'd have to do is look to the process by which one becomes a Proud Boy, and they could say, look, you guys are stupid. You're actually taking this as face value and thinking we're a threat. So it's this weird sort of thing. You don't know if it's actually real or if it's a joke. But I'll tell you this, like in the streets, like, you know, in these during these alt-right rallies, when the Proud Boys show up, you know, to defend the First Amendment principles of racists and extremists, you know, that is not a joke. It's very real and very serious.
In May, a member of the Proud Boys was ambushed and beaten in downtown Madison. According to police records, the victim said he believed the perpetrators were Antifa. Last month, a UW-Madison grad student, who the Proud Boys were vetting as a possible new member, agreed to give up his teaching duties after a blog post alleged he had a history of spreading racist and anti-Semitic messages at another university. Again, Ryan Lenz.
The reality is that the ideologies that people, you know, people have who gravitate toward being a Proud Boy, you know, the ideologies of anti-Islam, as Gavin has on his Twitter page, or, you know, or anti-feminism, these are things that play deeply into the grains of the alt-right.
As of now, researchers at the Southern Poverty Law Center have not designated the Proud Boys a hate group, although they're considering them for next year's report. One of the reasons is that the group is so new. They're still waiting to see what the Proud Boys become. Alexandra Hall, Wisconsin Public Radio.